This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Faith, was delivered on August 4th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Man, would you thank Pastor Aaron? Well, good morning, New Hope. Didn't he mention men's ministry? Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah, men's ministry next week at 5:30, right here. It's a great time, man. Last men's ministry, we had 25 men. Like, holy smoke, I gotta start cooking more food. And after we fed them, I think they went home and sleep. Oh, yesterday we had an exciting day, man. We played softball. Oh, and you know what? I got to play the whole 7 innings. And I got to pitch. Talk about faith. Man, just going out there, putting on the armor of God, hoping and praying that they do not hit the ball back to me. I mean, it's terrifying. You're like 45 feet away from guys that are like 6 feet tall, 280, muscles bulging, and they're swinging the bat. And I would pitch, and I would literally go backwards because I needed more space, because my reaction time is just not what it used to be. I mean, they hit one ball over my head, and I think when it was in center field, then my glove went up. And I thought, like, whoa, that was a little slow. And I kept telling the other team, please do not hit it to me. I mean, that was kind of spooky. And everybody was telling me, where were you last week? How come you wasn't pitching last week? Because I was afraid. And the Bible says that God did not give me the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So it's like, I sucked it up yesterday. Like, whew. Okay. I think that's why yesterday when I went home, I had to wash laundry. You guys caught on, right? The ones who was laughing. Whew. Anyway, we're talking about faith, and you know, what do we have faith in? Who do we have faith in? What do we have faith in our car? I have a lot of faith in my wife. My wife has a lot of faith in me that when I cook the food, she will eat it and she will not get sick. I have a lot of faith that my wife, you know, like for me, when I wash laundry, I don't think she puts a lot of faith in me because some of the clothes might come out discolored. Like the whites would come out pink because I'm sorry, but I'm not a sorter. I just throw everything in the machine and put the soap in and press start. Simple, right? And then I take it out of the washing machine, put it in the dryer, press start. So I don't think she has too much faith in me washing laundry. But you know what? She went holo holo yesterday and I decided to wash laundry. I think it came out no good. My wife usually takes care of the laundry, which I have ultimate trust in her. She washes it, and she folds it, and she puts it away. Well, one day, okay, I got to tell you, one day, we was going to go out. So I have a section in my closet. I have a walk-in closet. I have a section about this big for my pants. And that side and that half is all hers. And then on this side, I have shirts, and the whole bottom is hers. So she has like 70% of the closet space, which, you know, it's okay. And she keeps giving away clothes, only so she can go buy more, I think. But anyway, so we're getting ready to go out. I grab a pair of jeans, I put it on, and I walk out, ready to go out the house. Then I put my hands in a pocket. And then it's a funny thing, my hands only went this far in the pocket of my jeans. It's like, something is wrong. Because, you know, guys, the pants go all the way in their jeans. Then I put my hand in the back pocket, and it only went this far. And I said, honey, what's wrong with my jeans? So how come the pockets are so shallow? I got it from my side of the closet. I realized that she had put her jeans on my side. So I actually had her jeans on. Did you know that there's a difference between guy jeans and girl jeans? Say, guys, if you put on the pants and your hands don't go in your pocket, that's girl jeans. Okay? So dude, be careful. And it fit me, and it was fine. And, oh my God. But I still have faith in my wife in putting the clothes in the right place, because sometimes I find her shorts or her shirt in my drawer. Okay, it must have been dark when she did that. But yeah, we all have faith. How many of you have faith in your spouse? Okay, if you never raise your hand, marriage class coming up. All right? Oh, faith is such an important part of our walk with Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5. If you have your Bible, man, you might want to turn there. The Corinthian church was like the Las Vegas of our modern time. There were like so much idolatry and sexual immorality. And imagine, it's just like those guys who say, I feel called to go Las Vegas to plant a church. Well, good for you, because we were praying for you, because it's a tough place. But 2 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Test yourself. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So faith, what is it? What is faith? Well, Hebrews is a good explanation of what faith is. Hebrews 11, which is the Hebrews 11, if you read that chapter, it's like the hall of faith. It talks about all these guys who was in the Old Testament who had just extreme amount of faith. But Hebrews 11:1, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is believing in stuff that we pray for, even if we don't see it. Yesterday, where's Genesis? She prayed for sunshine. Man, faith, look, we got sunshine. She didn't pray for cool breezes. Maybe she should have. Genesis, next time you pray for sunshine, pray for a cool breeze, okay? So faith is things that, you know, like you ask for something and you believe it, even if you don't see it. Can my faith be measured? You know, when you were in school, how many of you liked taking tests? Oh, nobody's hand went up. Really? Man, the test, when they administered the test, it was a measurement to see, this is my thinking, to see how good the teacher was. Yeah, and I had bad teachers because I always failed. Not really. It was a test to see how much we paid attention. All the teachers in the church going to stone me afterwards because I said that. But it was a measurement to see if we were actually taking notes and paying attention. So after service, we're going to test you on what you heard today. Right? And it was a way that they could measure how much we actually learned. And that's what the test was. In Genesis, you know, Abraham was tested. God said, go. You know, he was an old guy. I mean, almost my age. Yeah, well, you know what my wife bought me for my birthday, right? Centrum Silver. Seriously. Well, I guess that's better than one cane, yeah? Or one Walker, but it's like, oh, okay, honey. See what you get for your birthday. No, I don't do revenge. I return love for that. But he was an old guy, and God said, your descendants will be like the stars, if you can count them. And now his one and only son, God tells him, sacrifice him to me. It's like, are you kidding? So can our faith be measured? And I believe so. Genesis 22:12. He was ready. The boy was tied up. He was ready with his knife. And then God said, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. God said, now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. How did God measure Abraham's faith? by his obedience. See, God, I believe God measures our faith based on what we do, our obedience. Not by our feelings, not by our emotions or our words. We cannot measure our faith by the person sitting next to you or by the person you're married to. We don't measure our faith that way. You know, like, hey, I do more than that person next to me. Yeah, I come here 10 minutes before the other guy and I serve. I pick up rubbish. We cannot measure our faith by what other people do. You know, our faith is our faith. I cannot say I have more faith than you because I pray longer. I use more scriptures when I speak. I give more than they do. Our faith, I believe, is measured by how well we do what God tells us to do. In small things and in big things. When God calls you, or if you hear his voice and he tells you to do something, how many of you is like, oh, no way, Lord. I am Scott. I am the youngest in my family. I came to Christ at 37. Who am I to go start a church? I cannot speak in front of people. I am terribly afraid. And God tells you, oh, go serve with the kids. You're crazy. They're going to tear me apart. God tells you, go serve food, or go play on the worship team, or go sing. And what do? You say yes. You say, no, don't think so. Not me. I think our faith is measured by how well we listen, hear, and obey and do what God commands us to do. Amen? Well, how do I get it? How do I get faith? Okay, Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Okay, and get this right. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So to each, he refers to each, is all of us, every one of you. The person on your left, the person on your right, the person in the front, the person in the back. God has given to all Christians varying measures of faith. And this is the faith that you receive so that you can use your spiritual gift, which is found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Those three parts of the Bible talk about your spiritual gift. And each of us has been given a measure of faith to exercise your spiritual gift. Okay? And that's what he gave you these gifts for. And I believe when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we get this faith in which we use our spiritual gift. Okay? So we all have a gift. We all need to use it. And we all have some measure of faith. Okay? When I started off, my faith was really tiny and really weak, and I was easily intimidated, easily scared away, because my faith was so little. Okay? And so what did I have to do? Number three, I had to exercise my faith, little at a time. When I was at New Hope Hilo, and I was just another person sitting in the congregation, and one of the leaders came up to me and said, hey, Scott, would you like to be the floor coordinator? And I said, no way, are you kidding me? Because the floor coordinator would have to carry that pulpit and put it on the stage. That means I had to go on the stage. I said, you're kidding me? What if I fall down? I ain't going on that stage. And said, no, pray about it. We need somebody trustworthy to sit next to pastor, bring him a water when he needs one, carry the pulpit up, carry the pulpit down, hand off microphones when he needed it. I was so terrified. I mean, how many of you would be terrified to bring this up and down from the stage? Be honest. Well, we have some honest people up there. The ones, hey, ushers, take the notes of nobody raising their hand, because we're going to recruit them to sit next to me and move this up and down for Pastor Aaron and for, yeah, because I was terrified. But eventually I said yes. And that was the most frightening thing I had to do. And it started off that way, moving stuff up and down to exercise my faith and my gift. And I guess my gift was serving, because eventually I kept doing it and it was okay. Next thing they knew, they asked me to go up on stage and read a scripture. Holy smoke. And I could not read well. My reading level was probably like third or fourth grade. I would stumble over words and they didn't give me notice. They gave me like 1 hour notice before I had to go up on stage and read the scripture for 3 services. And I was in the back, I was sweating, I was trying to read the scripture, and I kept tripping over my words with my tongue. And it was like, I was like sweating bullets. But I did do it. And eventually, every little thing by exercising my faith, it grew a little more. In Matthew 9:29, it says, "He touched their eyes, saying, 'It shall be done according to your faith.'" Well, what happened here? 2 blind men followed Jesus. And when they approached him, he said, "Do you believe that I can heal you?" And their response was, "Yes, you know, it'll be done according to your faith." In Mark 9:22-23, "It is often thrown in both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." Okay, so this man had a son who was possessed. The disciples could not cast him out. Okay? But this man approaches Jesus and he says this, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "Why? If you can, you know who you're talking to. Do you know who you're talking to? What are you telling me, 'if I can?'" Maybe he was just trying to get Jesus all kind of like, "What do you mean, if I can? Then prove it, yeah?" kind of thing. You know, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Have you ever said that to Jesus, "If you can? Oh Lord, if you can bless me, if you can provide for my finance, if you can heal me, if you can find me a good job." We don't say "if you can" because we know he can. Amen? See, the attitude of trust and confidence that the Bible calls faith is not something that we can attain without help. Faith is a gift from God, and no matter how much faith we have, we never get enough to the point where we are self-sufficient. And if we do get to that point where we feel self-sufficient, watch out, because somebody will knock you down. And I don't want that. Faith is not stored away like money in the bank. Faith, growing faith, is a daily process of every morning getting up, renewing our trust in Christ. James 1:6, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." And James here is telling us about asking for wisdom. We got to ask in faith, because if we ask and we doubt, we'd be like the surf tossed by the wind, going here and there. So we need to exercise our faith. How can you exercise your faith? Man, if God tells you to do something, just go and do it. How many of you, when God tells you to do something, how many of you make excuses? Well, just some honest people. Yeah, I make excuses. I'm no different from you. Okay, number 4, growing our faith. James 1:3-4. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." I think God tests our faith when he asks us to go do something. Ask us to step out in faith. Maybe he's asking you to start tithing. That's a huge step of faith. If maybe he's asking you, "Hey, go stand at the front, pass out bulletins, and go welcome my people." That's a test of faith. Maybe he's telling you, "Stick around after service, get uncomfortable, and go hang out with the people." For some people, that is like major step of faith, because we're uncomfortable hanging around people that we're not familiar with. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Growing your faith means taking that test that God gives you and passing. Faith is grown in small steps, one act of obedience at a time. Just that one act of obedience at a time. I know I mentioned to you guys that, hey, we do devotions on Wednesdays at Blaine's at 6. James started doing one on Tuesdays at 6 at Coffee Bean over here. And then Thursdays, we're at the Blaine's Industry at 5. Those of you who came and joined us, you guys came by faith. And you guys are reaping the benefits of that faith. It's growing. Getting up at 5:30 in the morning and coming to men's ministry, that is an act of faith, man. How many of you can get up at 5:30 to be here? That is major faith for some of you, yeah? Maybe your wives need to just give you that nudge out of bed until you hit the floor, boom. And then you're ready to go. Matthew 17:20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, I would have had a mustard seed, but it was so small, I lost it. You seen a mustard seed, how tiny? It's smaller than a BB. Now, if you had faith that size, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing, how much is nothing? Nothing will be impossible. Would you like to live like that? Nothing is impossible to you. See, the disciples, they were unable to drive out this demon, and they asked Jesus, why? They had cast out many demons before, but this demon didn't respond. And perhaps the disciples tried to drive the demon out on their own power rather than God's. Or their hearts and minds were not in line with God. Jesus pointed to the disciples' faith. He wasn't condemning them. He was trying to show them how important faith would be in their future ministry. Because I tell you what, these 12 guys or 11 guys, when Jesus left and he ascended to heaven, that was it. No physical guide to tell them what to do. They just had to trust the Holy Spirit. They needed faith in this Holy Spirit that wasn't seen. It's the power of God, not our faith, that can move the mountain. There is great power in faith, even a little faith. When God is with us, if we feel weak or we feel powerless as Christians, maybe we need to examine our faith, making sure that we are trusting in God's power, not in our own abilities. How many of you, when you get something simple to do, like just change a tire, I don't need prayer, I can change it on my own, right? I mean, how many of us actually pray before we even change a tire? How many of you actually pray before you even turn on the stove to cook? I just cook. I trust in my own abilities, and one day God gonna get me for that, right? We need to learn to pray and trust in God, even in the simple things. And when we can do that, our faith will start to grow. If you are facing problems that seem as big and immovable as mountains, man, we just got to turn to God. Look to Christ for that faith. Then, as Jesus promised, nothing will be impossible. So the last one, what are we putting our faith in? I like what Frank was talking about, our phones. We put so much faith in our phones, yeah? I mean, the weather app, oh, okay, the rain missed us, we're good. We're trusting in, we're putting our faith in our phone, in our weather app. Proverbs 3:5, one of my favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart, part of your heart, all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. We understand so differently from what God does. 2 Corinthians 2:5. So your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He has sat down on the right hand of God. We need to put our faith in the right things. Yes, we can put our faith in our spouse, but we cannot put our faith in our spouse for salvation. We put our faith in our spouse for other things, like my wife puts her faith that, hey, when I get home, I'm going to get one hot meal. She can do that. But sometimes when I'm tired, I'm sorry, man. We're eating leftovers or sandwiches or I never cook because I was lazy. But if we put our faith in the right things, in Christ, man, I like what he says, that nothing will be impossible. The things that I do, the works, the stuff that I do is evidence that I have faith. The time that I come up here every week to preach the word of God is evidence that I have faith that Christ will show up, the Holy Spirit will show up. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up when I'm up here, man, my words would just fall down to the floor. And that would be it. It would just be words. Amen. You may put away the notes. We're going to be ready for take communion. Hey, before that, Romans 10:9. This is by faith. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. By faith, I want to ask you, if you never received Christ, I want to ask you, bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray this prayer with me, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anyone? God bless you over there. Anybody else? No shame. Hold up your hands high so I can see. God bless you over there. Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands. And by faith, they invited you into their heart, and you are there within them now. Lord, all heaven rejoices for anyone who repents and comes to you. So right now they're having a celebration in heaven for those of you who said yes. So Lord, I pray that they would learn your ways, that they would draw closer and closer to you. And when you ask them to do something, that they would be obedient and their faith would grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who said yes, and those of you who want more information about your walk with Jesus Christ, there is a yes booklet on the table. Please grab one. There is also a Bible if you need one. Please grab one. But congratulations. Give them a hand for those of you who said yes to the Lord. And now, our brother James, who wrote the book of James. No. You're not that old. Is going to lead us in communion. Would you welcome James?
Good morning. And then I'm going to, Genesis is my youngest daughter. I'm going to ask her to pray for Wynn next time when she prays for the son. And then this Monday I got to spend some time with her. And she has some health problems, and we go doctor back and forth, and usually me and my wife take turns. And at first, my wife was scheduled to go take her, and then I know God kept on speaking to my heart, and he said I should take time off, sacrifice some pay from my job, and just spend a day with her, take her to the doctors. And I'm glad I did, because she's such a wonderful girl, and I learned so much from her that day. And at one time, she knew the Bible better than me. Yeah, she has a positive attitude. Even though her older brother sister always picks on her, she's still nice to them. I don't know why. And she just has so much love. And her middle name is Faith, and then, which is pretty amazing for today's message. And what I thought was a sacrifice of making for work, it wasn't. It wasn't. A sacrifice was was what I've been praying for in my devotions was wisdom, and God gave me some wisdom that day, and he spoke to me and said I should spend more time with my kids and get to know them better. She's going to be 8th grade, and yeah, what I thought was sacrifice for me was nothing at all, and I'm glad I did it. And then he also spoke to me and said what Jesus did was the greatest sacrifice, his life for dying on that cross, his body being broken for our sins. And yeah, that was, and this is why we do this every month, to remember that sacrifice he did. So that Last Supper, he got together with his disciples, and he was going to let them know what was going to happen. His body was going to be broken, and he was going to be beaten. He was going to bleed, and he took a piece of bread, and he broke it up, and he gave it to his disciples, and he gave thanks to the bread. And he said, this is my body, which will be broken for you. And then please do this in remembrance with me. So take the bread. And in the same manner, he took a cup of wine. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. And this is my body, which will be poured out for sacrifice for you. Everybody take the wine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for this beautiful, glorious day. Thank you for everything you bless us with, especially your Son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins and suffering for us. Even though we sometimes are bad and we do bad things, he didn't care. He just loved us for who we are. We give you all the praise and glory, and we just give all our thanks to you, and we keep all our faith in you in all we do. In your Son's beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother James. Let me ask you something with today's message in mind this morning. Do you believe that God is real? If you believe God is real, then there's nothing that can hold us back from believing in everything that he can do and every good thing he wants to do in our life. Amen? Amen. That's what faith is. Would you stand with us? And we're going to take it out singing that this morning.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.